You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
Oh, and that's our finale music.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're doing the finale of The Newsroom, Season 2, Episode 9, Election Night, Part 2. I'm one of your hosts, Kristen Carroll, and across from me, I have the lovely Kendra.
Hi, everyone.
And the lovely Sarah.
Hello.
And if you notice, right next to me, we have the amazing Helen Coleman, who plays Lisa.
Hello. Yay.
Oh, listen to that little
We button. Love Lisa.
Oh,
who doesn't love Lisa?
Hi, everybody.
Seriously. So we're very, thank you so much for joining
us. I'm so excited to be here.
Our other host, Kelly, she's out today, and she was so sad she couldn't be here. She helped book you, so.
Yeah, she's great.
Shout
Hi,
out Kelly. To Kelly.
Shout out.
And shout out to John, who was doing Breaking Bad earlier. So let's get started. So much went on.
Yeah.
Huge night.
Oh my gosh, I cried so many times.
she really did.
I did. I cried. Sorry if it's running. Oh man.
You had to. There were so many good moments, stuff that we had been waiting for so long. Relationships, finding out if they were going to resign or not. It just, so much went down. Let's get started really quick. What was your guys' Sorkinism for the night?
Oh my gosh, there was so
what's
many.
What's a Sorkinism?
What's your, basically the favorite line.
Oh God.
Of the night.
How do you pick one? You guys go first.
I think I personally, mine. I starred next to after Sloan kisses Don.
That's what I was going to say.
What I have, you can't be taught.
Yeah, what I have can't be taught.
Yeah.
Tommy's so funny this season. I mean, he's always funny, but I love how they let him, not they let him, but I mean, how he, I guess the character was written a little more comical, I felt, this year. And he's just such a funny person that it
does he
is,
killed
does
it. He ad-lib? Or is it?
Oh, we do not ad-lib. This is word perfect, this two punctuation. Sorkin, this is Sorkin.
That's what Chris was saying last week when he came on.
You know what? Actually, it's funny because I think I'm the only person that, I don't know, I don't think anyone knows this, that was actually able to ad-lib once. And because I was, we were doing, it was a scene last season where I'm walking down the street FaceTiming with Jim, and, you know, Maggie's there as well, and I bump into someone and I fall, and for some reason Aaron couldn't be on the street, Hollywood Boulevard, by the way. They were like, yeah, can you not get the palm trees or the stars
and look like New
the
York.
Short buildings? And I was like, oh, God. So there was a man holding the phone, the camera guy, and I had to walk holding his wrist, and there was about 20 dudes behind him, people running into everything.
Oh, my gosh.
And it wasn't blocked off, so people were screaming at us the whole time. But I went into Sorkin's office, Aaron's office, right before, and he was like, you know, he wants to see rehearsal. And so I did it for him because I didn't have anyone on the other side because it's not, we don't do it at the same time. So, and he said, you know, at the part where you are, this is my Sorkin, it's not very good right now, you know, at the part where you, you know, bump into him, feel free to say whatever you want. And I was like, what? I looked at Alan Poole, our EP, and I was like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Mark that down. That's amazing. And then I was so nervous to do anything that I think it just ended up, oh, sorry, are you okay?
Yeah,
I think that's all it ended up. Oh, God.
That's good. So you turned a Colemanism.
Yeah, sure. Well, no, yeah. Sure. But mine was massive bag of douche. Said that was that Mackenzie? Yeah, because I think maybe she got it wrong because she's English. You know, a massive douchebag usually, but massive bag of douche. Sounded so cute the way she said
it. It's so much better when she says it.
Yeah, everything's better when Emily says anything.
She's adorable. So, well, the whole episode starts off that they're debating what we heard in the last one.
I want to say my Sorkinism.
Oh, go ahead. I thought you said you agreed with the one earlier.
I agree with that one, too, but I also liked it when Leona said, oh, the irony that it's come to you and Reese agreeing when she's talking to Charlie, right?
Yeah.
entirely.
When they were talking at the party.
I thought that was so funny. And then I...
She had a lot of good zingers. I kept writing down all of her stuff like, I don't look silly. You want to split a pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, because she's high in that scene. Yeah. She's incredible. She's nominated for Best Guest Star this year.
Emmy. I would think she'd win.
I hope she does.
Jane Fonda.
That last week's episode, we shouldn't be talking about it because we're doing this week's episode, but she killed it.
She's amazing. She really
did. Yeah, when we actually, right before the scene that, the first scene where I bump into Sam or Charlie. So I had to sit there because it's in the whole same scene and I'm not till the very end. And I had to sit there and watch Marsha Gay Harden, Jane Fonda, and Sam Waterston do a scene. And so they did it. And then Aaron came in and he watched them and he was like floored. He was floored because they're in. It's like watching a masterclass of acting. And I was like, wow. And he was like, amazing. And he like talked to each, and then he looks over at me and he goes, Kellen, good luck. Basically, because they're so amazing. I was like, yeah, thanks, Aaron.
He's really funny.
Well, I liked it when you said, the center of gravity in these champagne glasses is too high.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. I like
You're
that.
You're so like that's quirky and charming. That's what I like about your character.
Yeah, I think that that came out more, because Lisa was only supposed to be, I think it was just one episode guest star, and then it happened, kept continuing, which was a very pleasant and welcome surprise. And I think that, Aaron has a good way of kind of infusing people's personalities a little bit into they're definitely the characters, but he does know the actor's strength and puts a little bit. So I'd like to think, hopefully, that it's maybe that's how I am.
There's a lot of Kellen
such a good
in there.
Performance. If it wasn't, he probably wouldn't have done anything with it. Really great.
We
always love Lisa.
Well, good.
And she's on.
The question is, who do you like Jim with? Oh, crud. That's a big question.
That is a big question. We could talk for days on that, I think.
Yeah.
Should we say right now?
Sure.
I personally, as much
I
need as...
To, I won't. It's, a, you yeah. know, it's not me, so...
No, yeah. As much as I love Lisa and I think Hallie is good with him, something about, like, Maggie, I just want her to make a comeback and for them to be together.
I mean, that's the end. It has to be, right?
Yes,
as much as I was like, no, me, Lisa, come on. I mean, it has to be. In the end, it has to be like a Mackenzie and Will thing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I really, I really like Hallie's character. I think the chemistry between them is great.
Awesome. They do have good chemistry.
Very good chemistry. Mm-hmm. And she's the nicest. I mean, they're everybody on the show.
Everybody on the show is the best person in the world.
But everyone is pretty great. I like the new chemistry of the couple. Of course, maybe we could fight it out or have a...
Well, maybe Lisa can find another boyfriend.
Ooh.
Dev?
Yeah, I was going to say, Neil's single now.
Neil gets with every girl, apparently, that they're making him the player. That would be interesting.
You could tame him.
Yeah, I mean, I was brought in as being a server. I was brought in as being Casey Anthony's high school friend. I mean, it wouldn't be that big of a long shot to make me, like, the fashion correspondent because Reese has to add that,
exactly.
Something like that. Come on, Aaron.
I think that's you had a Q&A on HBO HBO Go, right? And somebody had suggested that.
Oh.
Somebody had one of the fans suggested that you would be like Will's fashion consultant because you worked at that fashion store.
And I think I like that idea.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
So, getting back to the episode a little bit, they're still deciding whether or not they want to do their resignations, and they're also deciding the big thing that they had was they had coverage, potentially two sources this time, that were secure about Petraeus resigning because of an affair, and they decided not to go for it. And the reason they didn't, it was going back to their roots again. Does this have anything to do with the election night coverage? And all of them say no, even though Don's the only one. He agrees with it, but he doesn't want to keep rolling with it. Do you guys think that was a good call for them? To not,
I think it definitely goes to the credibility of the news organization. ACN. That's how they do. They stick to what's right, even though it would have been a big story for them. They needed to do what was right for the moment and for the people.
They were feeling a little insecure because of the past, the recent past with Genoa and all of that. Mm-hmm.
I always wonder if they should have covered it, because it was right around the whole Benghazi thing, and he was kind of a part of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could have worked it that way. But
then again, it was also not as timely as, you know, the elections are going on, and this other story is, you know, even if it's just a small impact, swaying, you know, only a few thousand votes, perhaps, at least they did what they could to put all the information out there to the public in order for them to make the best informed decision. So I actually, it was the admirable thing to do. And like you said, it goes back to the first few episodes where they're revamping and it's Newsnight 2.0 and it's all about being ethical and actually reporting the news and not
the
smut,
you know, even though it's a figure in politics and, you know, that's important and it was big news, it was still about an affair.
But although, speaking of unethical, Jim decides not to retract.
What did it say? Did we, because we had to get out of there, out of the screening room, did it say that he made the right call?
He ended up winning, and it was only by
really
like
close.
30 votes.
Wow.
It was like,
I forgot from reading
90
it.
At the end, and then 60 at the end of the other one. It was like, you know, whatever the thousands of people were before it. But so he ended up making the right call, but this whole time,
he was worried about
Jim,
that.
And Jim didn't, and he didn't want to admit to these problems, which is funny, because like earlier, they're all going to resign with him. You know, they're all thinking they're all going to be gone soon. But I still like that he has this like sense of pride to try to keep this news organization go out with a good, on a good note, even if he was potentially wrong with that. And you have to love how he had, I don't know, I don't remember her name, but when she had to go to, out of the little room with her eyes covered.
Oh, God. That, what about the moment when she bumped into someone? That was so good. And she's, I forget that actress's name, how that's, I didn't meet her, so I but I know her from her other work. She's so good.
She's hilarious. Is there other work, comic type of stuff too, or?
She has been, I think she was on Seinfeld, I want to say. I mean, she's done everything. I think she was in Joylette Club. I think she was in, I've just seen so much that she's done, and I, but I didn't get to meet her because I wasn't in the main room.
Her little bit cracked me up last week and this week.
Yeah,
it's so funny. And then, you know, where with her reaction with Jim and trying to state the facts, and I'm certain, but not completely certain. And we're back to the same problem. And then Jim gets a phone call from the guy's camp, Dan Benix, if I'm saying that correctly.
Benicky's.
Right. Office, and he talks to her, and she says what everybody's been saying is, well, ACN's the only one saying that he won. Do we say this? And even Jim backs off at the end, where she goes, do you mind if we
don't report,
if we don't report it, because ACN said it, and we wait for one other source? And he's like, yeah, go ahead, do it if you want.
Right.
So it's so sad to see all of them doubting themselves. You went from this really strong group, season one, most of season two, and now there's a lot of questions going around.
Doubting, or I think they just want to make absolutely sure. You know, you learn from your mistakes, and it's tough. But, you know, at least they know now to double, triple, quadruple.
Be careful.
Yeah.
But they usually always do. I mean, even in that way, I mean, like, you know, in the end that we'll get to, Reese talks about how they did every step possible that was, that could have been done. And they did, you know. I mean, they just, they were unfortunate with someone doctoring the story. And they didn't know that. I guess there was no way, unless she had figured out the time code earlier, that they would have known.
I figured that out right away when I was
watching. You did?
Yes, because
that's like, well, that's how
you have superpowers.
Well, no, they
kept trying to get you in that newsroom.
Because they were like, oh, I'm going to put this in the background. And I was noticing the screen during the
I knew it had to come back.
Like, oh,
we had somebody on YouTube say the same thing, too, that they were like, why didn't anybody notice that?
Yeah,
that it was all messed up in the background.
And sorry, I just want to correct. I said Benicky, but that's a Breaking Bad character. It's Dan Benishek. So we don't get in trouble. Let's correct ourselves.
We're going to retract that.
We're retracting that.
See, I don't get
We've learned our lesson, too.
I should have known that, because I'm in this episode, and I'm it. Listen,
but you're also
so
a Breaking Bad fan,
this.
So, I mean, we might have made the same.
True.
Yes.
True.
Okay.
But it was so good for them, and I love the round table that Will did let Taylor's back. I love Constance Zimmer.
Oh, she's so great.
Huge fan of her in every show.
Yeah, right?
We were trying to have her on, and she was filming something as well, but she's, you know, just great in House of Cards, and she always has this like really good wit and timing for everything. Mm-hmm. And I liked that Will let her, you know, play with him mm-hmm. on there and challenge him. And I have to kind of wonder if, like, maybe if season three does get picked up, she'll be the political correspondent.
That would be great.
Try to drive a wedge.
That would be great.
Between.
Yeah, like, don't tell me Will's going to cheat on McKenzie.
No,
now.
No, no.
It's another. It's another.
That can't happen.
No.
Person now that
in
the gym.
Yeah. Gym
square triangle, what do we call it?
It's like an octagon.
Which one? Which triangle? With Jim?
If Taylor, because she wants, if Jim resigns, she wants him.
I once called it a love square.
Love pentagon.
It was a love square because it was Maggie, Lisa, Don, Jim. Mm-hmm. But then there was also the triangle, just Maggie,
now
Jim,
there's Hallie.
Lisa. Now there's Hallie.
So that's a pentagon.
I was out. I got taken out. Now,
You're still there. You're still there.
I'm still there. I don't know what would happen if we do a third season. If they do, I don't know. I would love to think that Lisa would.
If she's
come
fashion
back.
Correspondent.
I don't know how, though. Yeah. Like, that idea is going to work. I'm sure Aaron really wants a fashion correspondent
or
on his
program. Or maybe you'll be hired for, what's the name of their...
TMI?
TMI.
Oh.
Right.
You could work with...
In the same building?
With Hope Davis's character.
True.
Which
oh, God, no! Because I'm credible.
Yeah.
Lisa is, if anything, she is...
Incredible.
She is credible.
But I love that he allowed her to kind of question his motives with saying he's a Republican, mm-hmm. and is that just an excuse mm-hmm. to bash Democrats? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm allowed to, to bash Republicans, because I am one.
Yeah, I liked how, how they kind of tied up the season with that, you know, Will had another longer monologue, as he did in the first episode mm-hmm. of the first season. But it was... it was interesting, but I think he's evolved as an mm-hmm. anchor and as a person, so it was nice that he kind of wanted to be vulnerable.
I kind of wanted to hear who he voted for. I don't know.
I don't know why I felt like he may have voted for Obama.
Hmm. I'm guessing Ron
because
Paul.
He didn't,
just kidding.
Because he didn't say, but then he was kind of defending the textbook terminology, definition of a Republican.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also it's good that I think a lot of people over the season, viewers, you know, I've heard comments on, but he's not really Republican, or, you know, Will McAvoy, and, you know, and I think that, Aaron made it, he explained how Will can say he's a Republican mm-hmm. and still be on a show that, I guess, as Constance's character, like, seemed more left.
Yeah.
Kind of mm-hmm. explained that.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely love that. So, to kind of wrap up the election, Obama wins.
Surprise.
Such a surprise.
And that's right. You know, they're able to call it and they don't have any problems. And as we said, you know, the one that Jim from Mississippi ends up being correct. Mm-hmm. So thankfully they don't have to retract anything. And so then it kind of gets, well, let's get into the fun stuff, which is the relationships.
Wow.
Let's take.
Sorry. John's
which
here.
One do we start with?
Shout out to John.
What up, John?
John,
come forward in the booth.
No?
Which relationship should we start with? Will and Mackenzie. Come on.
Well, that's the big biggest, one, yeah.
That's the big.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the one you end with. Whoops.
No. Well, we started already. We can't retract
okay.
that.
No. Yeah.
So the whole episode is kind of him realizing that, you know, at the beginning, Mackenzie is the bad guy, and you feel bad for Will. But slowly, he's getting to be the bad guy. He's been... hurting her way more than she's hurt him now at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said, he's the kid in that story, which was very funny.
Shredding the paper.
But you know, like your mom said, you're like, ow, this hurts when I do that. And your mom's like, well, stop doing that.
Right.
You know, like he was starting to do it because he had held such a grudge that he couldn't overlook that and see how much he loved her. He finally did!
I know.
Oh, my God.
Because that's really what it was, right? He just had this mission, you know, subconscious or conscious or not, to kind of get back at her. But what he hadn't realized is he's been getting back at her this whole time, doing mm-hmm. it over and over
and
over again.
In his own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now it's like surpassed that point where you're just causing further damage and you're making it even worse. And he's realizing he's the one mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. doing it.
Just
now.
To be clear, he was serious when he said he was breaking up with the girl in the last episode, right? The
Yeah,
we haven't.
Okay. I just want to make sure because I didn't know if there was some lingering.
Yeah, I think you break.
shower scene.
Yeah, he had to have been.
Well, if he didn't do it, I mean,
okay,
that's going to be done it now.
Later. Yeah. That's what I was like, no. It was in the back of my mind.
But. Well, that could always be something Erin plays with.
Yeah, yeah, like she shows up sometimes. Yeah.
I was still waiting for her to show up at some point, and because what do you, especially if, you know, for next season, if there's a next season, I think that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the lady from TMI, right?
Yeah. Hope Davis is the actress, but right. I forget the character.
I know. Me too.
His name.
Because he had just said something like, I shouldn't have. He just slammed the door, and I didn't know. Yeah,
first thing I have to do, and the second thing is break up with you or something.
Yeah. You know, we don't see her for a while.
Right.
But that could be something Erin Sorkin plays with maybe next hopeful season.
Yeah. Hope's character, whatever her name is, sorry, TMI lady.
That's horrible.
I know. She knew anyways. Like, she heard the voicemail.
Yeah.
And she can just tell by even talking to Mackenzie, I felt like, she could tell that there's something there that she will never have with Will.
Mm.
So, like, let's say she finds out later, you know, and, like, she didn't know already that they had been broken. She had been dumped.
Or that she was dating.
Like, I feel like she'd be like, well, that makes sense.
Well,
you know,
and I was a little heartbroken for Mackenzie once they take their break. You know, they try to see the new group, and we'll talk about more of their resignations for our next topic. But when they take their break in the hair and makeup room, when he tells her, "I played that ring for you as a joke," and then he goes in this whole explanation. She goes, "All I heard is you say the ring is a joke," and she wanted him to back away because she was going to punch him.
Yeah,
I felt
like that
her.
So many times. How often have you felt like that? Just like if you don't get out of my face,
it's going to go down.
I will become that girl that you're talking. That you're telling me I am. You're telling me I'm crazy, and I'm not. But if you could stay around me, I might become that woman.
I just, oh my gosh, that was such a good scene though, because you really felt the tension, and we mentioned in the room, like, that's the closest in, like, standing proximity I've ever seen them together.
Me too, those characters.
On camera. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're getting so close to each other. You don't know if they're going to
kiss. Like, if they're going to kiss.
Or punch
exactly.
Each other.
I thought they were going to kiss.
So much energy
gonna collide,
right there. Yeah.
Be it their lips or, like,
and when they finally kiss.
I know.
We were all such girls, just, like, squealing.
Yeah.
Crying.
You know what, though? Like, Sorkin totally planned, like, our anticipation because as they're getting close to each other when they're fighting, we're. You know, we're all like, are they going to...
He's such a smart man.
Yeah. So when it finally happens, it was like the sigh of relief, like, finally.
I think we were applauding. Like, because we've been waiting. You know, we wanted them together from the very... It's these two great characters that are just so strong, and they have such something pulling them apart, and you just are like, why can't you just shut up and get together? And then they finally do.
Yeah. Dump your ego for one second.
He did.
And exactly.
And it was
and
so
she,
good.
And I thought it was funny. She even said, like... Took you long enough.
Yeah.
But in the makeup room, it was funny because it was kind of quirky the way she was going to hit him. I was like, your hands are up.
And like, it's so Mackenzie.
Or that could have been like, back up. That's how I took it was cute.
It's
so Mackenzie, though, because she's not like the smoothest person, you know. She doesn't have it all together, so of course she'd be like, get away.
Gosh.
And then Will, who's always so smooth, after he discovers speaking with Charlie... That I don't want to blame Mackenzie for this, except he also means blame her for everything.
Mm-hmm.
The music plays.
You can tell he
liked Charlie.
Something happened, and he realized that he's been doing that. He's been blaming her for everything in the relationship, and that was that switch where he was talking about work, and then he realized that's exactly what I've been doing this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He ran for the Tiffany's box.
Tiffany's, right? Come on.
That he still
that ring. That ring.
Nice.
That was some bling.
That
yes.
is ridiculous. I mean, it had to have been real for, I mean, obviously we didn't get to keep it.
I would say never.
HBO rented it out.
Probably
for a little bit.
What I really liked about the proposal scene is that for someone who always has his words so carefully selected, and he's usually so eloquent and charming, like in that scene, Will McAvoy could not find his words.
I love that guys do that. That's one of my favorite things.
And it was so real. It wasn't like this big grandiose. And you know what? I kind of think like Erin is a bit of all of his characters, and I have to think that maybe if you know Erin's proposals would sound like that or something, because he's so brilliant and his writing is so I mean, just, it's almost, it's musical. It's almost Shakespearean. It's, I think that's the closest thing to Shakespeare in like modern, you know, language, I think. And especially the way it's delivered. And it really doesn't, it lends itself to speak it the way we speak it, not just like, we're not forcing it. No one tells us, you know, to do that. And I feel like, not that he can't talk, he's a very eloquent man, you know, but there's something about him that like, I feel like that's how he would propose.
I think it was true to the character and their relationship too, because I think if Will had a teleprompter, he could have gotten to it a little better. So, but it was cute.
It was endearing, it was right?
And it was like him cutting to the chase also too. Like, he's
and
not going
to... trying to get it right. Because remember when he said, he was like, I will... Nope, that's not right. He took it back a little bit.
He used his teleprompter for that.
Right.
And then the other big moment is Sloan with Don. I have to say, I cheered more with that only because I loved how Sloan did it.
That was pretty badass of her.
She's a badass. Sloan's
it was just like, so BA. She just went in there, saw that book. So the book, she finally finds
who helps
out. Which great moments with her and Neil earlier on. Him trying to, you know, figure it out.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Look at the anagrams. Oh, okay.
And actually, one of our listeners predicted it, right, Kristen?
We did, actually. We had a YouTube comment for that. So thank you so much.
Way to go,
love
Kristen.
The YouTube. I wrote it. No, actually, it
was. Oh, you're Kristen. Wait, obviously. who got it right?
Jess Rice. Prediction.
Shout out.
You are psychic.
Book to keep her from embarrassment. Yes. And yes. It was fantastic. And we love when you guys comment. So thank you so much for commenting. We love to
keep
hear from
up.
You. What do you guys think of this, you know, Sloan with Don now kissing? We had Mac and Will are now engaged officially. What do you guys think of the ring? We also got comments from Just Ann W., What FC, and Mr. Rourke and Rourke. So thank you so much. We love to hear from you guys about what you think. But called it. Jess Rice
called it that
Don had the book.
I knew, too, even if I didn't know, but I knew because I read it. But even if I hadn't, I would have been like, come on.
I know. We were, like, trying to read your face as we were watching.
But it was honestly.
Should have filmed it.
But it was, I mean, it was done in a great way. It wasn't obvious, but it was. Well, you hoped it was him.
I was going to say, that's the final answer, right? It was him?
Yes.
Because he reacted in a way. Maybe he was more shocked about the kiss, but I was almost thinking, maybe it wasn't him.
I mean, he had the poster and his, you know. And Aaron uses a lot of musical theater references because he is a big theater and musical theater fan.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was, and then, but Will's character also talks a lot about musical theater. And he, remember, he had that Jenna, the character.
Look up Riley's
character.
Look up the top winners.
And
or
so
they
Don's
talk about Annie Gets Your Gun against Annie from Oklahoma. That was one of my
You know what, though, guys? I would have never put two and two together had I not seen our listeners' prediction.
Well, that's great.
Online. I had not, you know, like, now I'm smacking myself in the forehead. Like, duh, it was Don. Like, he's,
I hadn't
come on.
But,
I love the way Sloan just, like, came in, sat the book down, signed it, closed it, grabbed him by the back of the neck, kissed him, and then slammed the book in his chest and left.
And then her face when she walked out was just like, that's what I did.
Yeah, that just happened.
I loved it too because it was like, finally, I got something right. I pulled that one off.
Yeah. God, and could anyone be more gorgeous? It's like, what? Yeah.
I mean, I think, like, women and men were drooling watching that.
and Tommy's so cute, too. It's just like, I mean, come on.
I didn't like him during the first season, but I said, I kept hearing, you know, for interviews and stuff, how nice he is.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He's probably going up to Aaron like, can you make my character more likable?
No. I don't think anyone tells Aaron what to do. Listen, Aaron
how nice he was.
Yeah,
was like,
no,
maybe
I should
make him more likable.
But yeah, Don was a different first season, huh? And that's what really caught me this season. I was like, wow. They're letting you, like, Tommy's so funny this year.
Well, the thing about Don in the beginning, there weren't much layers to him other than we knew that he probably wasn't that in love with Maggie.
Yeah.
And that was it. So it's hard to connect with, you know, when you don't get to know them.
And we knew him in the new sense of, like, being, a, you know, kind of a strict, you know,
Right. There was one dimension, really, that we got to know. But then as more layers started to unpeel, I think that's when we started to really care about him.
Mm-hmm. Tommy's in a play. You guys should go see it. Don is in a play in L.A. He's so
What is it?
Cool. Lord. Yeah. I don't even know. I wish he had told me.
We'll Google it.
I'm going to see
it. We'll Google it.
I think I read something. It starts September 28th.
Oh,
it's got Lisa Kudrow and Josh Radner.
Wow. And I think someone else, a girl just joined that's like killer. I forget
the name of it. But.
And he tweeted it out. He tweeted it, so you can check Twitter. It's going to be a great play.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it's, I love his character now at the end of the season. And
love them together too, right?
I do. Spawn's always been hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the dry humor, like the very, like, you know?
Yeah. But I say I used to work with G4 too.
Oh, you
so
did.
I know people who like worked with her.
Got
I
it.
Didn't personally work with her, but I know a lot of people who did, and so it's kind of like, oh, another fangirl. Gotta cheer them on.
I know. I saw your R2D2 phone case. I'm a total.
I have an R2D2 phone case,
and I knew what that was because I'm a little fangirl too.
No, I like that. It's good. I always test people if they don't. Just like, wait a minute.
Shall we talk about the Pentagon now? I mean the octagon.
Triangle. Sure. Is that the
triangle
one I'm in?
Of relationships
the
between
Pentagon.
Lisa, Hallie,
we have to get
Maggie
to
and
so Lisa
Jim.
Makes a surprise.
Yay!
Well, Semi surprise.
It's supposed to be a surprise. They released a clip, which was an honor. So it's totally cool. But the surprise
entrance.
You're catering
entrance
now.
Of them.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm
catering
entrance.
On the side. I mean, listen. Not only am I doing 8.5 pages of rapid fire Sorkin dialogue walking into three rooms, but I was also really holding a metal, like a silver tray.
Right.
Thank God all actors are servers.
At some point.
At some point, because that definitely came. I didn't drop one thing.
Well, how many times did you have to ram into Sam?
That's my only scene like I've had with Sam, and I love him I mean, God, I love him.
He's adorable.
What a great guy. A lot. But we kind of did it where it flipped up on me. And it was breakaway, like sugar. Someone actually tweeted me and said, did you get cut by any of the glass? And I was like, no, it's a, the props makes it out of sugar.
Ooh.
So it's not, you can't actually get cut by it, so you have to be careful.
Sure.
But I was
Can
covered.
You eat it? Can you eat it? Yeah.
I don't know, but it's like the stuff they use on stage a lot and windows and things when you break them. But then there we are with Jim again. Oh, good.
Uh-huh.
But it was more like, I mean, the way that they kind of, edit it, you never know what it's going to be like until you see it. And I feel like I didn't see it as a rekindling, although that would be great.
For the next season.
But I didn't see that. I saw it was like, getting it out there, wrapping it up with a bow, like trying to, get them to be friends again or, because...
Closure.
Because they didn't have that. The characters, I mean, Lisa breaks up with him on the email. She says to him, I'm your landlord, you're my roommate, that's our relationship. There's nothing more to say, I think I remember it. There's nothing more to say, now I've screwed myself up. But I bet she goes in the other room to email him to save myself a phone call.
Right.
Yeah. And then he so quickly moves on.
I think one of the few instances it's okay to break up on email, right?
I get, when you find something on the internet.
YouTube, yeah.
And, I mean, gosh, I could never break up that way just because I need to, I need to have that closure,
Yeah.
But Lisa, I guess, didn't.
Which is why this scene was probably important, so that they could actually go back and do that since they didn't get to do it before.
Didn't get to do it. And it also is important because he basically brings her back to Maggie. He brings them back together because then you see, hopefully, Lisa caring when he's like, why don't you talk to Maggie? I don't talk to her. And then that whole thing, and then finally you kind of see her go, well, I don't, I don't care. And then she goes, why, and she keeps asking questions.
Yeah.
And then, then you see them in the hallway at the end in that montage talking and Maggie telling her what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that would, in the continuation of the show, that they're back as best friends.
And I kind of need it. Maggie needs her friend.
Yeah,
back.
And I think there's been comments in the first season how, they're each other's only friends, which, God, I mean, I think they're cool people. Why can't they have more friends? But I think it was, first season that was brought up a lot. Huh. I think I said I cut off my left ear for Maggie. She was my only friend. Something like
that. How weird.
And I also just thought it was very caring of Jim to try and do that, to try and at least like whisper it in your ear to maybe for you to maybe or your character to maybe patch things up with Maggie, knowing that she's hurting, obviously, and she can only he's assuming that you're hurting too because you were.
Yeah, and
your
his,
character was best
and
friend.
His care, but his character, I really love that Jim was never a bad guy. He did some stupid things, and he was trying to get over Maggie. Probably not smart to date her best friend and roommate, but you know he was trying to.
That's Don's fault, though.
Well, yeah, because Don was trying to keep them apart, you know. And but you know he cares, and he cared enough to come up and talk to me, to Lisa, and kind of seal that up. Like he is a good person. He didn't mean to do the things. Right. That he did.
I think it was interesting writing, intertwining the characters, because he didn't really realize anything about Maggie's hair, but it was Hallie who kind of...
I want to know if that's a big deal. Do you think it's a big deal to cut your own hair?
I think it's more emotional that way. You're not going in there like, I want a new do and getting somebody's opinion on it. That's just like...
It's like
you're
hacking.
In this, yeah.
Well, because she
you're
did kind of hack. It wasn't like
moment.
A trim, I guess. Yeah. I mean, the Britney Spears of it all.
Exactly.
Right.
I think that's
like in the Me, Myself, and I Beyonce video, she cuts her hair.
Oh, yeah?
It's like an emotional.
I haven't seen that
or
one.
Mulan, you know, she cuts it.
Oh, my God. I'm such a Disney freak. Don't even talk about it.
You were Snow White in a video.
I was in a College Humor video.
I saw that.
It's called Disney Spring Breakers. It was really fun.
You ate the poisonous apple.
Oh, yes. And then I tripped on it. It's so nice. You know, I never do that in real life.
I think that's why it was such a big moment, is that she obviously had a break. And then if she's not, this could sound bad, but if she's not cleaning up after herself and she's just leaving the hair there.
I don't know if she left it. I think there was, I took it more as like there was, you know, how you can, like if a guy, a boyfriend like shaves in the sink and then there's always a little bit there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I took it as more like it was in between the cracks in the tile or something like that.
Yeah, did you notice that? I think it was just her sad attempt to really cut that part out of her life, you know, having to remember.
The reminder of that little boy. I mean, every time you look at yourself, it was so sad, that episode. I was bawling and like I had chills, and I immediately wrote out, like texted Allison and was like,
amazing.
Just told her what I thought.
Right.
It was very emotional. I got very emotional. I don't know if you guys have the same.
Oh, is her hair so short, by the way?
That's a wig. That is a wig. Yeah,
oh
the red
gosh,
is a wig.
How do they hide?
Great wig.
Listen, talented people.
Wow.
Work
inside
on the show.
Info here.
Yeah, it's a wig.
Do you know what her prep was for that? That whole trip
Well, the trip, they didn't actually go. That was like shot in the valley, Santa Clarita. Sorry. You mean
just the whole?
Well, I do, but I think that, you know, that's her you know, she told me what she used, like, in confidence. Obviously, that's her thing. But Allison is, such a cool, deep-feeling person. And she's just and it's great that she got to talk about that. What was the feminist issue she was talking about today with Aiken, right? Because she is very much, you know, like that, like, very into feminism. And she's Allison's a cool chick. Like, she's kind of like a cool, like... I don't want to use the word indie because you're probably kidding. Like, it's not, she's not indie, but she has like the black queen glasses and she's just awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. What, when you guys were doing during the montage, what do you guys talk about in the hallway? Cause we can't,
she
hear
was
what
actually
you're saying,
telling me tell when we were rolling, like obviously we would talk about other things, you know, when we were just waiting, they were like, oh, they're rolling. Cool. And then, you know, cause it was a montage. She was telling me what had happened. She was telling me the story of, you know, what happened in Africa.
So she actually tried to, like, make you laugh, but, you know.
No. We do have bloopers, but no one will ever see them. They play them at the rat parties. And they're pretty funny.
They're not on the DVDs?
No. Because it's weird to have bloopers for a dramatic show.
For that kind of show.
But
yeah.
For the funny
but
parts.
It's good for us, like because it's, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. You guys all seem to like each other and hang out. I mean, you interact on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. We
hear nothing but good things. You know, Chris Chalk was on here. Margaret.
Chris, I set up with my best friend, one of my best friends, and they've been dating over a year now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Chris.
yeah, no. We all, a lot of us are hang out and are close. Everyone has their different, you know, connections and people they are close to, but it's a really good group of people. And I I hang out with a bunch of them. I try to. One of them canceled on me tonight, who will not be named.
We know who you are.
But I know who you are.
Yeah. I know who you are.
So really quick, let's wrap this up because I want to get into some of your other projects and stuff too. So the resignations, the whole senior crew, as we learned, they're all going to resign if Will and Mackenzie and Charlie, if they leave. Mm-hmm. And they pretty much tell Will, we don't care what you say right now. And Sloan's like, I feel hurt that you don't trust me. He keeps trying to cut her off throughout the show.
Yeah.
And once they finally go upstairs to confront Leona again about the resignation, she says she relates herself to the Queen of England that wants to see her king. In this case, it's Rhys. God help us all. that kind of see what he's going to do. So it's all in the hands of Rhys. And then they have their, change of heart with it. They don't.
Well, he goes on that long walk. Rhys and his Rocket, right?
Do you think he actually thought about it, or he was with the Rocket?
I think he thought about it.
I think he did too. Yeah.
I think that Leona, what she was doing there, she knows that she has to leave it to her son, and she knows that she has to leave it to Rhys. And obviously, they've had some very big battles with Rhys, and I think she wanted to see, like she said in that speech, she wanted to see what he would do. She wanted to see if she was leaving it in good hands eventually and give him the benefit of the doubt, because she knew she knew he was going to make the right decision, and he did.
Yeah.
I love that she couldn't even talk about in the first person, like, I want to see what he's going to do. She had to say, like, well, Elizabeth, Windsor, like, she with her son, like, she had to make it about someone else and make that analogy.
Yeah. It was really, and it was good in that Charlie didn't even, because, well, we're actually not going to resign.
And then they had to fight like they always do.
Then it was back to
how
normal.
How good is Chris Messina, too, man?
He is so good.
I love him.
I love to hate him in this show.
My boyfriend on the Mindy Project for Hot Center. But no longer.
And you get to work with him, obviously, more in the Mindy Project.
Yeah, well, I did. I haven't done any Mindys this season. I don't think any of the friends are back this season so far. But there's always hope.
Yeah.
But, I got to work with him a bunch. We don't really see each other on Newsroom, but we both, when we were doing Mindy, he had to go in and do Newsroom, and so I was helping him with, run lines for Newsroom. It's just, that camaraderie. It's really cool. He's a great guy and a great actor. He's starting to direct, which is great. Nice. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So I really liked the ending. They kind of wrap it up in case there isn't a season 3, and I was, personally, I thought, well, I was going... Yeah.
They'll have to do a wedding special.
I guess I didn't know. Yeah, the wedding special.
Well, let's hope there is a season 3. It's in Aaron's hands, and I think he's such a busy guy, and he has so much going on that he's doing, that he's writing, and, we can all just cross our fingers and hope, right?
Yeah, because there's been mixed reports that, Jeff tweeted out, and then I read stuff that, Tom, who plays Don, that he was also saying that there is going to be a season 3. But that thing's been 100%.
Maybe I don't know. No, I mean, I thought there was, and Jeff tweeted it, and so I, retweeted it. And then someone told me that wasn't the case. I don't know officially.
The ink's not dry on the paper yet.
Yeah. HBO's really, I heard, very excited about doing it. And they're just waiting.
Yeah.
This feels like Jim's dilemma tonight in the episode when he's like, he's called it, but not officially.
Yeah. It does, actually.
It's really close, though.
Art imitating life in so many ways.
Right. Any final thoughts on the episode that you guys had?
This was such a good episode.
I think I
wrote down 5 million Sorkinisms because the dialogue.
Just run them down.
Should I?
Why not?
But you have to do it in
character.
Can
I recite the whole show?
I do want to get into Kellen's,
life
story.
People don't care about that. My life story? Well, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee.
I haven't heard. How did you land the role of Lisa?
Auditioning. I mean, I originally came in for Jenna, the girl at the Greater Fool, the question.
Yeah.
And didn't get it, thank God, because Riley kills it and, that would, whatever. But if I'd gotten that, I wouldn't have done Lisa because I came back in a while later for casting first. And she said, I'm going to have you come back in. Nancy Perkins, amazing. And she said, I'm going to have you come back in. And Sorkin will be there. And he likes to read with you, just so you know. And I was like, holy mother. What? Yeah. Aaron Sorkin is going to be there. And he's going to read with me. I was flipping out because I was a huge fan. I still am, obviously. And then going in, and it was him and Alan Poole, who, God, Alan Poole, he's just as amazing. You know, he's the EP, basically. And he like is amazing. Mm-hmm. And he directed this episode. And I went in for them, and I did, whatever the first scenes of, you know, the music, the phone, if you think I'm, the one in the New Year's Eve. And then the scene where I'm about to go on the date, and I'm like, he's going to think I'm dumb, like that one. Mm-hmm. So you could see, like, the fun side, at least, I guess that's what we're thinking, and the other side. And then I think it was down to a few people, and then it was like, everyone sending tape and previous work and a lot of discussion. And I actually was in New York seeing some friends, and I would then took, cause I hadn't seen them in a while from college and from acting stuff. And so then I took a bus, like a $25 bus down to my parents in, outside Washington, D.C. in Potomac, Maryland. And I got off, and then I took a subway from the place, right? So I get off the subway. This is really cool. And I'll always remember this. I've never told the story actually. And I get off the subway, and I see my parents literally as they're pulling up, like they're like down the street. I get a phone call, and I see it's my agent. I'm like, oh, I have to pick this up. And I get on the phone because I didn't think I was the new girl. Like at one point I was going to have to fly all the way back to LA to like, I was like, I will be there. Cause they said, how feasible is that for you? And I was like, I don't have any money, but I will come. I will do this. And then they ended up calling me like, you don't have to. We're sending them a bunch of stuff and, you know, and they're looking at everything over and over and over and over. So I thought they weren't going to go with, you know, someone who had worked, but not someone who was pretty much, you know, no name.
Yeah.
And I thought someone obviously with a lot more credits would get it. So I pick up the phone, and as my parents were pulling up, they play awful jokes on me, and they say like, well, Kellen, you know, we have to tell you. And I was like, oh, you know, I was about to like cry. And then they were like, you got it. And I like, I think I did like a, like got on my knees or something. And I looked at my parents, and they were in the car, and I go, I got it. And then, like, without words. And they, but both, my parents, I'm about to cry, they flipped out.
Yeah.
Because I just knew this was going to be something, even if it was one episode, to work with this caliber of people was such an honor. Yeah. But it's just such an honor to, like, Aaron Sorkin, come on. And all these people that are on the show I've admired for so long. And my parents just flipped out.
Yeah.
Like, but silently, because we were on the ground.
Dream come so true for
man,
you.
Man, it was. And it was, it's, yeah, that's how it's been, really.
That's so cool.
I'm very honored to be involved.
Well, we think you're great in the role.
Oh,
we love seeing you on episodes.
Oh, that's really sweet.
If you
I
look
hope
at our
so.
Old episodes of oh, our yeah. podcast,
you just stuff. Say, like, we love that, Lisa.
Yes!
And her
attitude. Oh, you're so sweet.
Like, your speech with Maggie this season.
Wow,
we all
right?
Loved it.
Yeah.
We were kind of like, how did she not, like, if it was real life, I feel like I'd mess up so much, you know, but you were,
well,
just
I mean,
right
we
point.
Do mess up. We actually shot that twice. The first time we shot it, I was so sick. I've never worked ill before. Like, I've never had to. I've just never been sick. Like, maybe a little cold. I was so sick. They had a doctor come to my house, give me a shot in the bum.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I, like, barely didn't have a voice. And so I was I was so worried.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did it. And also, another thing is, in the script, it's actually in there. Aaron wrote, Lisa is eerily subdued in the following scene, almost as though she's taken a Valium. So the whole thing was, like, the direction was, you know, to stay, to never explode. He didn't want Lisa to reach that place of, because reading some of those words, you could definitely get to a place where you start screaming at her with that, because it's a horrible thing that had happened. And that was a really cool aspect of, I think, to keep it at that kind of eerie place of like, I'm a kettle and I'm about to boil, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
It was kind of creepy, right?
Yeah.
But we actually reshot it because there was a time in which a bunch of episodes were kind of changed and redone. I was actually in the first two as well, but those scenes, well, maybe we'll never see them. maybe they'll be on the DVD. Who knows?
Did you get a personal copy? You're like, Aaron, can I?
You know what? I didn't get a personal DVD this year. And then Alan Poole sent me one, I think, because someone was like, Kellen didn't get one. He was like, he was so sweet. He sent me one. He's like, you know, thanks, Ron. And I was like, thanks, Alan. Yeah, and then my friend stole me some from HBO. Holla. He works there. He works there. It's okay. It's not stealing. But yeah, it was... that scene was really hard to do, I thought. and really hard to do because you think of the stakes and you know, being mm-hmm. your best friend and mm-hmm. the betrayal there mm-hmm. and feeling like an idiot mm-hmm. that you've just been just, oh my gosh, to two people that you cared about most at one time just mm-hmm. doing that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like
right.
the pain, you mm-hmm. know, and the yeah. embarrassment.
It was yeah. beautifully done.
Thanks. I mean, I don't, you know, it's really hard. I was squirming. You probably saw, it's really weird watching yourself. It's way easier watching yourself do comedy for me mm-hmm. because you can make fun of yourself. But doing this stuff, it's like, I don't know. It's just so hard because you see all the amazing work that's being done. I just, you know, I don't think
does
I can
it feel surreal too? That you know, seeing yeah. yourself on the screen with those people.
I mean, I think it's oh, of course. I mean, I've watched some of these people since I was like, you know, little, and been, you know, looked up to them. Man, I mean, Emily and Sam and Jeff alone is like, holy mother. Love God. Yeah, and also, you know, it's really weird. I start picking at myself and picking at, you know, stupid things. Like, I usually always have to watch it once where I'm being a stupid actress or a girl and just being like, oh my God, I look at it. You know, like the stupid things. And then I kind of try to rewatch it and watch so I can actually pay attention. Mm-hmm. I never end up going back and watching it because I don't want to torture myself.
Well, we are
one
about,
thing. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I remember talking about that, about Dev Patel and how he watches himself back and that Frida actually makes fun of.
Oh, did he say that?
It was in an article that.
And Frida makes fun of him?
Like, she'll say, oh, you did that better, you know, in the bathroom.
Oh,
when we
no.
were reading,
Dev
you know,
said that?
It was in an article. I can show you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Dev said that about Frida.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in an interview. Yeah,
that's so
allegedly.
Funny. Yeah, I don't know. Dev seems like someone who wouldn't want to watch himself. I feel like certain actors do not like to watch. And I do learn a lot from watching because I see things that I don't like or things that didn't ring true to me in the scene. And, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of... But it's very weird. I don't know if it will ever. I'm sure some people are like fine with it. They're like, oh yeah, I did great, or that sucked. But they're fine with it. I don't know. I think it's different for each actor for sure.
Yes, even some of the big. I know, like Johnny Depp, like never watches himself.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's hard to see them in moves. But you've played so many different roles. Yeah, you've done a lot of funny stuff for College Humor. I saw that. I haven't seen the movie yet, but you were in a scary movie. Kevin Alejandro.
Oh yeah, that's actually coming out. Yeah. Good plug there. So we did this movie a while ago, actually, and it was my first leading role was a movie. But I don't want to talk about. No, as a movie called Children of the Corn.
Oh, one of the sequels of.
Yes, it was called Children of the Corn Genesis, but I think it's actually on IMDb as The Dweller, and it was the first lead I'd ever had in a movie, and it was a straight offer, which you never get when you're starting, meaning you don't have to audition. And my people are like, you should do this. It will be like boot camp for acting, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what it was because we shot it in like 2 weeks, and I had to learn how to carry a film in 2 weeks, and then just so happens I get this offer or I auditioned and I got this part of in this movie Casadega and had to fly out to Florida, and thank goodness I had done that other movie. There's reasons for everything, I like to think. So yeah, that's coming out October 11th, I believe.
Oh, very
Kevin Alejandro is in it, who I think is immensely talented.
He was in True Blood.
He was in True Blood. He played Jesus. I think right now he's working on Arrow, maybe. So him, Louise Fletcher from One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, Nurse Ratched.
Oh.
She's in it, but It's definitely a scary movie. Actually, I'm a deaf girl in it, but postlingually deaf, so I can speak.
Huh.
Okay.
Sounds
so
creepy.
Listen. No, it is really. It's a really creepy movie. I don't know. So anyway, October 11th.
All right. Mark your calendar.
Part of a pilot with Rebel Wilson coming out. It's a super fun, night.
I was involved in that pilot. I wish that show the best. I really love it. We did the pilot. I think I'll be airing in the pilot, and great show. But I'm no longer doing that show. I'm looking for other things to do. I just finished a movie called Flock of Dudes. Chris D'Elia, Brian Greenberg. Oh my gosh, who's in it? Hilary Duff, Jamie Chung, Hannah Simone from New Girl. There's Skylar Astin from Pitch Perfect with Rebel. Mm-hmm. Ray Liotta does a little cameo, and it is something I've never done before. And I have to say that, it is racy. There's some things that are racy about what I'm doing in this movie. It is hilarious, this movie. And I don't know when it's kind of going to come out, but it is
what's
pretty
the name
ridiculous.
Of it?
Flock of Dudes.
Flock of Dudes.
Yeah, and then I just did a Californication. I love that show so much. I've been a huge fan. And there's been so many times where I've been up for stuff, and I didn't want to do it because I want to do nudity event. I mean, I will if it's the right thing. Yeah. Not that I want to. But I just didn't feel right at the time. And this last thing came up, and they're like, it's the last episode ever. It's a guest star. Will you do it? Oh. It's small, but will you do it? And I was like, heck yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I love the creator. I think David's amazing. I think, oh God, Evan Handler. I just wanted to be on it so bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did that. Now that won't be on until like next summer, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you've done comedy. You've done drama, horror, something racy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite genre?
Oh, man.
In your craft?
You know, it's hard because I love so much of it. Just like, you know, I grew up singing, and singing was the first thing. I grew up acting, singing, and like dancing. Like I did show choir, like Real Life Glee and stuff like that. But
Glee.
Singing was, yeah, right. But singing,
she's the AfterBuzz for
what? Have me on? No, I'm not on the show. I'll just talk about it. But
we have some. We totally come on. Yeah, be a guest on that.
I would love TV. I mean, I love so many shows, but. So I've always, like, music and, you know, I haven't sang in so long. I try to be in Disney stuff, and I go into the animation there. But, so it's kind of like that, like you two loves, but they're so different mm-hmm. with the drama and comedy. Comedy is definitely easier for me, I think, because I'm such a goofy-ass individual. I think I'm an idiot. But drama feels totally different. I think I love, you know, you can't pick. I don't know.
You've got some funny stuff on YouTube that I found.
Oh, Lord.
I don't even know if I should mention all of them.
you can mention some of them. But let's talk about The Office. No, I'm just kidding.
You're so funny to follow on Twitter.
Oh, great.
YouTube. Yeah. We follow most of the Newsroom cast on Twitter.
Most of us are on Twitter and Instagram, and some of us are on Vine. And we embarrass ourselves or are very eloquent. That wouldn't be me.
We'll have you plug your name and handles for all that at the end, actually, so we can actually follow you.
Oh, we do have to wrap it up.
Oh, man, no! I talk too much.
I wanted to ask a quick question.
Yeah, yeah.
2 seconds. Yeah, just about your music, do you think you'll venture into, like, an album or something?
You know, that's always... I don't think I'll ever be happy if I don't, so I need to do it. It's just I think I need to be writing with someone, because I play instruments, but I don't play them enough to write, but I hear melodies very easily.
Okay.
And I'm a singer, so my instrumentation is not good enough to do it. I don't know. Yes.
What kind of music? Is it Broadway?
No.
Musical type?
No, I mean, I wish, I would love to do Broadway, but my voice is not I can put it on, but that's not my natural voice. My voice is kind of like, I would say rock, pop, soul. Like my number one thing to listen to always is going to be soul. I learned how to sing from Aretha Franklin, Lauryn Hill, and Mariah Carey when I was little.
Well, your dad does blues.
My dad is bluegrass. So that's like country-ish folk, like Americana. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a father doing that, touring, it's in my blood.
Yeah, this is a woman.
Who knows if I'm good at it?
Many
we'll
talents.
Oh, jeez. I hope so, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
We want to thank you so much.
Oh, this is so fun.
Like, coming on with us. We loved having you. She's hilarious, you guys.
I'm
like,
sorry if I talk too much.
No. And then you did great tonight in the episode, too.
Well,
it was perfect timing for you to be on.
We apologize. We got a late start with you watching it. But, you know, thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm Kristen Carroll. You can follow me on Twitter at KristenCarroll13, and I'll be on Walking Dead coming up.
Yes.
And Kendra, where can we follow you at?
I'm at Kendra Cavasel, but I don't know yet where I'll be. I'll hopefully back for season 3 of The Newsroom.
Yes,
yeah, hopefully season 3. Let's hope.
Miss Sarah Mendoza.
You can find me on Twitter at Sarah with an H, Mendoza. And I do Glee.
Cool. Yeah.
And then Kellen, where can they?
On Twitter, it's at Kellen Coleman. And then on Vine, I believe it's it's Kellen Coleman. And then on Instagram, I think it as well. So, yeah.
And you guys should seriously follow. Like, I was following you when you told me the sumo wrestling thing, I'm like, I feel creepy that I know that you went to that.
No.
And then the name of your movies that are coming out.
Oh, so, and I forgot about one called A True Story, but I just have a small thing, cameo in that, but my friend Cameron Hate Me, that's coming out in September, end of September. It's called A True Story Based on Events That Never Actually Happened. Got Casadega October 11th. And then Calvacation next summer, and then
other
Flock of Dudes, and then
dudes.
Hopefully something else really great coming up. Something big's gonna happen. So
busy, Kellen.
Well, thank you guys so much, and hopefully we'll see you next year for season 3 of The Newsroom. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yay!
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From Bing.com, executive...
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.